Welcome back to Dialed In on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, and welcome to Jack's Garage. And in Jack's Garage tonight, Matt Kenseth, a former winner at Darlington in 2003. He'll be in the famous Oscar Mayer Yellow and Orange as their partnership with Roush Fenway Racing goes back, well, really back to the early 2000s as a sponsor for both Matt Kenseth and Kurt Busch when they won back-to-back championships. Matt, thank you for coming on tonight. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, yeah. You know, and how about the Oscar Mayer Ford Fusion? Did your kids get a big kick out of that? Are you thinking back to, what, 2003 when you won that race leading the final 13 laps at Darlington? And at the time, it marked the third of your 7 wins that season when you went on to finish second in the Cup standings.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that when we had the Southern 500 in 2013 was probably one of the most kind of fun and satisfying wins I've had in my career. It was a real big week for us for a lot of different reasons. It was a real special win, and that's I think anybody that races stock cars and is fortunate enough to make it to this level, that's definitely a race that everybody wants to win, and is one of the top 3 or 4 races. I think almost anybody would pick. Say if you win one race, I think it would definitely be in everybody's top 3 or 4. So that was a cool race to win.
Why is it such a tough track at Darlington that when folks win it, it's one of the most challenging races of the year for drivers? But fill me in.
Yeah, I mean, it's just obviously very unique, different shape than any other track. The groove moves around, but yet it stays pretty close to the wall a lot of times. It's just not a very, very forgiving track. And these days, these cars are very, very, very forgiving compared to how it was, 10 or 15 years ago. But that track is still not very forgiving. So it's still easy to make a mistake and kind of mess up your day. So just a long race, one of the longest races of the year, really, with a tire fall off and with the heat you're going to have and all that. It's always real slick, and the track goes through a lot of changes from the time you start the race and until the time you finish. So just a lot of challenging aspects to that race.
You know, some drivers remember races they win. Others remember more races they didn't win. How much do you actually remember of that 2013 race at Darlington?
Yeah, it's funny. I'm a guy who more dwells on the losses and the disappointments and maybe the mistakes or wish you could have a move back at the end of certain races when you're in position to win some big ones that I've lost. So, which is really, really unfortunate. I figured as I kind of was back to part-time racing or kind of stepping away from racing, you'd maybe remember more of the good races and push some of the other ones out of your head. But I think the ones you lose probably always sting more than the ones you win feel good, unfortunately. At least that's how it is in my brain, which I wish I could rewire that and fix that a little bit. But I remember a lot of things about that race. When I think of Darlington, I think of that race we won. But I also think of one year, I remember the year when we were real fast and we were leading, and I got messing around and racing Jeff Burton too hard and flat-sided it. And it was with the old cars. When you flat-sided it, you had a huge penalty because it knocked the fenders in, and you could really never run the same speed as you could before you hit the wall. So I remember that one, which was just really, really stupid being that early in the race and we were leading and he was pressuring me instead of just kind of getting out of the way and continue on and try to get him at the end of the race. I think it was about lap 80 or so, and I already had a flat side and kind of messed our day up, took a possible winning car into a top 10 car but not good enough to challenge anymore. So it's funny how you always remember those things.
Well, the fact, and that's you, Matt, that's what made you so good. You didn't gloat. You thought about how you could get better. So you remembered more the ones that, got away from you. But Darlington can get away from you really easy, right? I mean, is that fair to say that track is any more like that? Because given today, many of the NASCAR tracks are like that. But is it easier to let one get away at Darlington, because you have to be so perfect, or no?
Well, I think it's probably one of the least forgiving tracks that we go to for sure. When you make a mistake or push a little too far or get out of groove or whatever, you certainly can get in the wall easier. Certainly these cars are more forgiving than anything we've ever driven in the past. You can flat side them and sometimes they don't even slow down. Sometimes they'll go quicker and they're harder to flat side because they have so much side force compared to what we used to race. But yeah, certainly the racetrack itself is very unforgiving, very challenging. So to answer your rest of your question about 2013, we really were going to run second. We had a really fast car all night, but Kyle Busch had the field covered, and I thought we had the second best car, and Denny had the third best car, and Kyle got a low tire real close to the end. Actually, I believe on that day that all our cars are going to finish 1 through 4, which would have been pretty cool. But Kyle got that problem at the end, and we were able to capitalize on that and pass him, I don't know, whatever he said there, 10 or 12 laps to go. So it was an exciting finish for us.
Yeah, yeah. You won that 2013 race, but you have a pole at Darlington in 2009, average starting spot of 19.9, and overall you started top 10 on 6 occasions. With what you have now, and you've been really working hard with the Roush Fenway Racing Program, how are you looking at then this weekend at Darlington?
Well, we had a test there, maybe a month or so ago, and I felt like it was somewhat productive. We still wanted more speed, but I felt like we got to go through a lot of things, and hopefully, Matt and the engineers and everybody else will be able to kind of dissect what we did there and go through the notes and get some stuff in the car that'll be competitive, kind of know what to do, what not to do. So Darlington, practice and qualifying is one thing, the race is another. It seems like the track always changes a great deal for the race, and the people that hit it right, to be good middle toward the end of the race are usually the guys that have success there.
It's really hard to get a feel for what you've been able to do at Roush Fenway. And the reason is because you're a humble guy. You don't dwell on the things that you add. You, as you said earlier, look more at the things that you could work harder on or figure out. And Roush Fenway says you can't look at where everybody finishes and tell the extent of what Matt has been able to contribute. Where are you at as far as what improvements you think that you've been able to lend to the program at Roush Fenway right now?
Oh man, again, you're asking me, which maybe is not the right person, but I don't feel like I've really been able to make much of a dent in anything yet. I think there's some things, longer term that are probably things that are on our minds that maybe weren't before. That'll be a more of a longer term benefit, hopefully, to everybody there. Short term, not a lot of big gains. I feel like we have made some gains, and I feel like we're getting better. I certainly can't take the credit for that necessarily, but I do feel like there's definitely been some change, and there's been, probably going on a limb a little bit more, and swinging for the fences a little bit more to try to catch up maybe a little bit faster. So I do feel like there's been some gains there, and hopefully we can continue down that path and finish the season strong, but really get the stuff kind of running going into next year and even the year after, just keep trying to keep improving.
Without saying like what exactly it is, and maybe you don't have your finger on it, what kind of area, were they behind on? Because it was initially like the sim program, they talked about that, but also in the breadth of that, it's very difficult in NASCAR once you get behind to catch up, because everybody else is catapulting while you're catching up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly. I mean, I'm not the engineer or the technical guy, necessarily. I always feel like in today's day and age, you have to have all the big things right, but difference between the guys that are having success and the guys not having success really are the guys that do all the little things right, the guys who are detail oriented and make sure all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted, each and every week, from not just the organization perspective, but from the team perspective as well, guys who, prepare the best and make sure everything is perfect on their cars and in their personnel and their weekend planning and their strategy and their post-race stuff and all that. Those are the guys that you have to beat every week. So I think just trying to work harder in that area as well and trying to make sure as we're as prepared as we can be when we get to the racetrack. And when we get down to the racetrack, make sure we take as much information as we can, try to learn from that, so it'll be the next better the next time around.
Yeah, and we were talking about the Southern 500 and how tough it is, but I loved a quote from you that Darlington, you said, is one of the most unique and difficult tracks on the circuit. Quote, 500 miles on a one groove track next to the wall in the 90 degree heat is a recipe for constant action, although you love it. It's pretty physically grueling too, isn't it? Or do you have to be really focused? And it's always hot there, always really, really hot.
It is. I mean, it's one of the tracks that you know, I think a lot of tracks are like this, and maybe don't people don't talk about it a lot because it doesn't really always show it on TV. But I think, you know, Darlington is one of those tracks where you can, you know, sit up in the stands and you can pick out any area. There's typically cars all the way around there after you get a fairly long green flag run, and you can pick out anywhere on a track and you can watch exciting action, you know, whether it's a car right up next to the wall and see if they're going to get through there or not, or a car racing another car and not really have enough room to run side by side. I mean, there's always something going on there, and I feel like it's always, you know, the driver's hands are always full, whether they're racing somebody or they're by themselves. And, you know, there's always something going on there.
Do you like the throwback weekend? I don't know if you're a historian. I don't recall much about you thinking back to the previous era, but everybody gets so caught up in it. It's so much fun. Do you like going there and seeing what everyone has done? And some teams get, you know, all into the throwback deal. Cars are throwback. You're going to be racing in the 2003 is the former winner when you won. It'll be in the famous Oscar Mayer yellow and orange. Do you like the throwback stuff?
I do. I think it's fun. I think it's been a great idea for whoever came up with it. Actually, obviously, gained a lot of traction when they started, and it's held on to that. So it's been great, I think, for obviously the marketing side, but I also think it's been great for a lot of the race fans, because, you know, most race fans are there and spend their time and their money and are interested in it and all that. Our race fans have been around for a long time, and they can remember the history and the heritage, and they appreciate all that. So there's not really a better track to do that than Darlington. I think it's great for people that have been fans for the sport for many, many years, myself included, to see some of those cars or look like the cars that used to be on the racetrack.
Yeah. You know, I know there's a lot of silly season stuff right now, and I know that everybody is sort of wondering about whether you'll be with Roush Fenway, whether you even want to race. You said you would wait until you see what you were able to find out at Roush Fenway. Do you want to race some more in 2019? Do you know what you're doing in 2019?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably something for a later date. I mean, that's something that, you know, there's a few moving pieces there. So I don't really have anything for you on that topic at the moment, more just trying to get focused on trying to get these things running better this year and, you know, finish out the season on a positive note for, you know, Ricky, Trevor, and myself.
Well, Trevor was very complimentary of you and, you know, what you've lent. He can come talk to you. You have different schedules, he said. But how much have you been able to kind of hang with the drivers there and bond with them and help them in any way? Not that they needed advice on driving, but do you feel like that's worked out well?
Well, I mean, certainly I've seen Ricky a lot. You know, I haven't seen Trevor a whole lot with him living in Knoxville, and he doesn't typically – you know, get back on Tuesdays for the meetings very often, but talked to him on the phone a few times. I've seen him once or twice. And but yeah, even when I'm not racing, I see Ricky every week. He's always at the shop, going through the shop, and he's always in the meetings on Tuesday. And he's definitely real dialed in. I haven't really seen the Xfinity drivers around, you know, but I spent probably the most time, I guess, with Ricky.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting? When you haven't been racing every weekend, do you find, like, when you're thinking about Darlington this weekend, wow, it's cool, I'm going to jump in the car, looking forward to it? Because when you're in the grind all the time, I don't know if you get so used to it that, you know, we have a weekend off and you almost forget what that's like. But how do you look at racing at Darlington and getting back in the car, the feelings inside of Matt Kenseth for racing?
Well, I mean, I just got done spending 2 days in the 100-degree heat in Richmond testing. So I've been in the car. It's not like I'm dying to get back in the car Friday. I've just been in the car for two solid days and really just trying to get caught back up today a little bit. But, you know, the Southern 500 is certainly a race I always look forward to, and anxious to get down there Friday and get in the car and kind of see what we got.
And how did the Richmond test go?
You know, it was okay. You know, it was a normal, you know, hot day test. Richmond probably isn't one of my favorite places to test at. I feel like it's hard to learn a lot for the race, but yet there's enough cars there and a lot of rubber on the track, and got to run through a lot of things. Some things good, some things bad. So hopefully we can make sense of all that went on there and come back a little bit better.
And one other thing I want to ask you about, Aaron Rodgers agrees to a 4-year, $134 million extension. How are you feeling about Aaron Rodgers being back?
I think I would agree to that, too.
We could make news there, right? Would you come back if it was 4 years, $134 million?
Yeah, I'd race as long as I want.
That's quick. What do you think about Aaron? That is a big deal, but he's back with Green Bay. Pretty fired up over here.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't ever think he'd go anywhere else necessarily. Obviously, they basically, I would feel like the organization in a way was somewhat over the barrel, right? I mean, they got to have him. He's the guy. I mean, I know they did it a couple years early, which they went to had to do that. But it's an interesting sport. All the people, all the money they're making right now is just like numbers that I can't even really comprehend or fathom. So it's crazy some of the deals that are going down right now, but certainly they had to keep their franchise quarterback and keep him happy. He's certainly been one of the best players on the football field when he's on the field, so hopefully he'll throw a lot of touchdowns for that much money, and hopefully we'll win a couple Super Bowls.
Do you have any feeling about what they get paid versus what drivers get paid, or is that just too deep for today?
That's way too deep for today.
I kind of thought that. You know, the thing is, I was on the NFL teleconference today. I got invited somehow, so I listened in to the Sunday night teleconference. I've never done that. I just wanted to hear what they said, and it sounded to me like Chris Collinsworth and the group were pretty fired up about Aaron Rodgers, and that they also felt if Chicago is good as everybody thinks they will be, Chicago and Green Bay could be at it, and I wonder if you'd see a rivalry resurfacing between those two. You know, I never really feared Chicago in the last few years, you know.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, I don't know. I don't know enough about it. Part of the problem with me when the season starts is I don't really always pay the most attention to, like, the coaching moves and where the coaches came from and if they're any good or not. I mean, I pay a lot of attention to all the Packer stuff, but right. As far as other 31 teams, it's hard to pay attention to that. And I don't really watch college ball, so even a lot of the rookies coming in and players, like, I don't know if they're really – good or not good. Like, I just don't know much about them, but obviously Chicago Bears and the Packers rivalries went on for a lot of years. I think in the North, I think the North is going to be tough this year. I mean, you never know about Detroit. I feel like they somewhat, for whatever reason, somehow underachieve, and I don't mean that necessarily in a mean way before the Lions fans all get mad at me, but a lot of times you look at my paper and you watch them play a little bit during the regular season, like, man, they got a really good team put together, and then for some reason they just don't quite get to the playoffs or get through the playoffs or whatever. I think the Vikings are pretty stacked this year. I mean, when you look at their roster and their defense and adding Cousins and Diggs and Thielen, I mean, I think that Vikings could be the tough team to beat in the North right now, so hoping to excited for the Packers. I'm really excited for their new defensive coordinator, defense, to see how their defense plays as well.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And isn't Ross, your son, isn't he a Chicago fan? So if Chicago is good, that could be tough, right? Between who he follows and who you
follow.
Yeah,
I haven't really had to worry about Ross giving me a hard time about the Bears and Packers for a while. But yeah, you never know. I mean, you never know. It's the NFL is funny. You know, you can have a team that's really bad one year and be really, really good the next year. It's just always hard to predict, which makes it fun to watch.
Well, it's always fun to have you on, and you're fun to watch at Darlington. Particularly, Matt Kenseth on the field will make it more interesting. Can't wait to cover it, watch it, and listen to it on Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. And really appreciate you being on Jack's Garage tonight. Fun. Appreciate it. And I'll see you at Darlington, okay?
All right, Claire, thank you.